Words to Mouth, Show Number 20, July 9th, 2008. Today, Mignon Fogarty, a.k.a. Grammar Girl, author of Grammar Girl's Quick and Dirty Tips for Better Writing. You gotta believe in you. You gotta have faith in all you do. You gotta stay strong. Welcome to Words to Mouth, an author interview talk show where readers meet authors beyond the printed page and win free books. I'm your host, Carrie, and I produce this show to introduce you to authors and the books they write. This show is a companion to my blog website at wordstomouth.com, so please check it out. I'm very excited to have Mignon Fogarty, aka Grammar Girl, with us today. Her book, Grammar Girl's Quick and Dirty Tips for Better Writing, just came out yesterday. It provides fun and easy ways, complete with memory tricks, to improve our writing. Mignon also created and hosts Grammar Girl Podcast and is the founder of the Quick and Dirty Tips Network, but she's going to tell us all about that. Welcome, Mignon. Congratulations on your book. Just came out yesterday.
Thanks, Carrie. Yeah, it's very exciting. It's so rewarding. I've been working on the book for over a year, and, you know, I've been working on Grammar Girl for over 2 years, so to see the book actually come out in print and be in stores is the culmination of a lot of work, so it's very exciting.
A little bit surreal, I would think.
Yeah, although because of the way the book process works, I've actually seen the physical book for a month or two now, so it's a little bit strange to think of it as the launch day because I've had copies on my desk for a while.
Right. Well, I have to admit, I realized that though I have some talent with creative writing, that doesn't necessarily equate to being a pro at grammar, and I started listening to your Grammar Girl podcast probably about a year and a half ago, and it's really been a lifesaver for me in a lot of different instances. Tell us a bit about your background and how this whole Grammar Girl persona came about.
Well, I have an undergraduate degree in English and then a master's degree in science. So I was working as a technical writer, and I was editing people's documents, and I realized that I kept seeing the same errors over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I was very interested in podcasting because I've always been interested in things relating to technology. And so I, you know, just put the two ideas together and came up with Grammar Girl, because I did think it would be helpful to people. You know, as I read so many other people's writing, I saw that there was a need for something like this. So I did think it would be helpful, and I'm so glad to hear from you that it is. I mean, I hear that a lot from listeners, and it makes my day.
It does. Why do you think we struggle so much with grammar? I mean, it's difficult so many times. You know, when you look at the different rules, it can get confusing because it's sometimes, you know, personal preference or a style issue. And
you've hit on a couple of the problems. I mean, the first thing is that there are so many things that people think are rules but are actually style issues. So, you know, like using the serial comma, if you red comma, white comma, and blue, do you put that comma before and? Some people do, some people don't. And then there's the British versus American differences that people see more and more because we're reading things online. So you can see the BBC website 1 second and CNN the next and see things done differently. But then I also think that, you know, there isn't a lot of time in schools for teachers to spend on things like this. It's something that you might learn, you know, once or twice. Maybe you get some grammar in sixth grade or seventh grade, and then maybe again later, but it's not something that's reinforced over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then just on top of that, there are just thousands of rules to remember. I mean, you know, I look at my reference library and think, how could anyone ever remember all of us? Just so much. So we all need reference books to look things up.
Well, and you make it so much fun. You've got all these little memory tricks and clever ideas on reminding us of the rules. Can you share some of those? Like, how do you remember when to use that versus which, or who versus whom?
One of the reasons I do Grammar Girl is because I have a terrible memory myself, so I have to come up with memory tricks to help myself remember. So, for example, who versus whom, that's always a tough one to remember, and you have to, the technical rule is that you use who when you're talking about the subject and whom when you're talking about the object. But the easy way for me to remember is if you can theoretically answer the question with him. So if you're saying, who or whom do we invite to the party, you'd say, we invite him to the party. And so since you can answer with him, you use whom. And they both end with M, so that makes it easy to remember.
Oh, that's good. And then what about that versus which?
Well, for this one, I have to apologize to Wiccans and Hermione Granger, but the way I remember is that if you throw out the witches, nothing bad will happen. Oh. So you use a witch to begin a non-restrictive clause, which means you can take it out of the sentence and it doesn't change the meaning.
Okay. Well, what are some of the more humorous questions you've been asked on Grammar Girl?
One of the funniest questions I got recently was someone called in the voicemail line and asked, how do you spell blonde? And I thought it was a joke at first. And then I thought about it, and I started thinking, well, I have seen it with and without an E at the end. So I did some research, and it actually turns out that there are two different ways to spell blonde because it's derived from one of the languages that has feminine and masculine uh-huh. nouns. And so a blonde without an E is a man, and a blonde with an E is a woman, traditionally.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking about one of my issues. I had said the word supposedly instead of supposedly, and one of my girlfriends nailed me on it. And, you know, so I was like, oh my gosh, I've been walking around saying supposedly. But then later on, this goes back to what we were talking about, you know, with the preferences and the differences between, because later on I read somewhere that it was interchangeable. So you need to set me straight on this. Is it supposedly or is it supposedly?
It's supposedly with a D. I don't think they're interchangeable. I think supposedly is an error.
Oh, really? Okay, well, good.
Yeah, if you start, it's one of those things you might hear it wrong, and then you start saying it wrong, and no one corrects you, and it gets ingrained in your head. Yeah, there are a lot of words like that. Another one is irregardless. It's an error, but it's used so often that a lot of people don't realize it.
There's just certain words like that that drive me crazy, you know, and what's the word when people say, it's sort of like learning a song the incorrect way, and then somebody, you know, catches you and goes, what are you saying? But when people say especially with an X, you know, have you ever heard people do that instead of saying especially, they'll say especially with an X instead of an S?
Oh, right. Especially. Yeah, that's our espresso instead of espresso.
Yeah.
There are a lot of pronunciation problems. Yeah. I've been called on them in my podcast, especially early on. I said et cetera instead of et cetera. And a bunch of people wrote in and corrected me on that one.
You're probably under a lot of scrutiny with that. You've got some people on there that are probably, you know, just waiting for you to make
a mistake. I say thousands of copy editors.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this other pronunciation question, because this is one that I never get right, or I'll say it one way and then I'll hear somebody else say it a different way. And that's N-I-C-H-E. How do you pronounce that?
I would say niche, you know, like they occupy an ecological niche, but that could be wrong. I'm not a pronunciation girl.
That's true.
I could be wrong.
Well, it's funny because I tried to call in a couple months ago, and I think your voicemail was full. Are you surprised at where you are today as far as how popular you are with this podcast and book?
I am. I mean, it's wonderful. I never expected it to be this popular. So it's been a wonderful surprise over the last couple of years. And, you know, just great to know that so many people are interested in language and grammar and improving themselves, because that's what it's really about, is, you know, taking a few minutes every day to make your writing a little better. It's great to know that so many people want to do that.
And it's just such a great resource because, I mean, you can't remember all of it. So I know if I get to a place when I'm writing and I need some help, I can just go to your website and search on the site to get that specific word issue handled. Tell me about your experience about being on the Oprah Winfrey Show. How did that come about, and what was that like?
It was great. I mean, that's the crazy thing. I think I had been doing Grammar Girl for 3 or 4 months when that happened. The show took off so fast, you know, got the idea in a coffee shop, launched it, and within just a few weeks, I think less than a month, it had risen in the top 10 overall at iTunes. It might have even made it up to 1 or 2 by then. And then the Wall Street Journal chose it as the web pick of the day. And I mean, it just never stopped after that. And so I was sitting at my desk a few days before my birthday, actually, and my phone rang and I picked it up. And it was the producer from the Oprah Winfrey Show, and they wanted me to come on and be a guest to answer some grammar questions that they'd received from listeners. And, you know, I didn't have a PR person. I'm not even sure how they got my phone number. And it was just, they wanted me to come on within just a couple of days. And so it was just a whirlwind and very exciting. And
at first, were you like, okay, is this one of my friends? Is this a practical joke?
You know, I was, because another big TV show had called me a few weeks earlier. And so it wasn't a completely new thing, but you know, by that time I had done interviews with some big newspapers and things like that. So it didn't seem completely out of the blue, in that, you know, I didn't think it was a joke, but it was certainly a surprise.
Right. So are you still doing the technical writing, or is this sort of your full-time gig at this point?
No, yeah. Grammar Girl and the Quick and Dirty Tips Network are my full-time, more than full-time job. In addition to the book that's coming out, that came out yesterday, I'm working on two other books. And then I'm also the managing director of the Quick and Dirty Tips podcast network. So, yeah, when Grammar Girl took off so much, I realized I was, you know, onto something, that the format really worked. And I used to, back in the day, I worked at all the internet startups. And so, well, not all of them, but I worked at internet startups. And so I had been an early employee at a lot of startups. So I saw that this was, you know, my chance to found my own company. So now we have 9 active shows in the network. We're launching 2 or 3 more in the next couple of months, and, you know, we're building an entire podcasting network based on the format that worked so well for Grammar Girl.
And that is quickanddirtytips.com, correct?
Right, quickanddirtytips.com. And all the shows are around 5 minutes long. They're scripted so they don't waste your time, and they try to give you, you know, at least one useful piece of information you can use that week.
Okay, very good. With my show, I'd like to give my listeners a chance to get to know my guests, not only as authors, but as everyday people. Are you willing to share maybe one of your biggest challenges and what you learned from it?
Sure. Yeah. Let's see. You know, I really do have just a terrible memory. So, you know, I look things up in my own book at least a few times every week now. So I think my biggest challenge is just dealing with questions when people ask me, because I don't always have the answers at the tip of my tongue. And so, you know, I've come up with as many memory tricks as I can. And, you know, I read as much as I can. I work on this full time, but I still don't always know the answers. And that's a challenge for me, because I feel as if people expect that I should know everything. So
even though I tell
everyone else it's impossible, I still feel as if I should. And so that's probably my biggest challenge.
Wouldn't it be nice if we had like a little memory chip we could pop in there and just absorb everything? But yeah, I'm glad to hear that. It makes me feel better.
I mean, I'm human.
Yeah. What's important to you? What do you do, you know, outside of Grammar Girl and business? Where do you spend your time?
You know, spending time with my family is important to me. I do work so many hours that when I have free time, I always try to spend it with my husband, or, you know, my sister who lives in the same town I do, or, you know, some of my family, because family is just really important. And I enjoy that time that we can spend together. So, you know, that's how I try to spend my free time. And we hike or go for walks or go to movies. You know, we just do all the things everyone else does. And I really savor that time.
That's good. Has this allowed you some more free time than what you were doing before?
No, I have much less free time than I had before. And it's funny, because when I thought I was busy before, and when I started podcasting, my husband said something along the lines of, you know, do you really need another hobby that's going to take so much time? Because, you know, podcasting does take a lot of time. I'm sure you know that.
Right.
And I said, oh, no, don't worry. This is not going to take a lot of time. It's just a quick little show. It's, you know, 5 minutes once a week. I don't even have to do it once a week if it becomes, you know, too much. And it's taken over my life. In a good way. You know, I enjoy this work much more than the technical writing I was doing before. So it's
yeah. I've done some technical writing for the CDC, and I know how monotonous that can be. So this is allowing you to be a lot more creative. Well, is there a fun fact about you, or something that people might be surprised to know about you?
Well, people always ask about my name, how I got the name Mignon. So I was named after a flower called the mignonette. It's a family name. And then over the years, it got shortened to Mignon. But what's funny is people who speak French, they'll tell me I pronounced my name wrong, or also it's the masculine form of the word in French, and so they'll tell me I have a boy's name and things like that. So I always have lots of fun with my name.
Yeah, well, I did try to make sure that I was pronouncing it right.
Well, I pronounce it Mignon.
Mignon.
I don't know if that's right or not in the French, but that's how my family pronounces
that's it.
So.
That's what it's going to be. Okay. Well, it looks like I took a peek at your book tour schedule, and it looks like it's going to be pretty crazy the next couple months, but I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun. Before you go, what's the biggest message you'd like to convey to the listeners besides go buy your book?
I think that I want people to realize that language can be fun and they shouldn't get too worried about their writing. I mean, I always tell people when they're writing their first draft, just forget about the grammar and write what you want to say and then go back and fix it. A lot of people get intimidated by grammar and they find it stymies their creativity, and I don't think people should let that happen. So, you know, you can always go back and fix your writing after you get your first draft down.
Yeah, that's great advice. Well, how can listeners get in touch with you if they have a specific grammar question?
We have an email address for questions. It goes to feedback@quickanddirtytips.com. And then you can also go to quickanddirtytips.com, the website, and leave a question on the comment section in the blog. So, and there's a voicemail line, too, for questions. It's 206-338-GIRL. I think it's 4475.
Okay, and I'll put the links to that website in my show notes. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Just I hope they'll come out on the book tour and meet me. I'd love to meet people in person, and the whole tour schedule is on the website or at upcoming. I think it's upcoming.org, or it's the upcoming event planning website.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure that information's on the site for everybody. And I just really appreciate your time. I know you're busy, and it's just really been a pleasure speaking with you.
Sure. You bet. Thanks for having me. You know, I saw that you're in Georgia. Are you coming out to the stop in Decatur?
No, well, I was going to. That was the whole thing. I was going to come meet you and do an in-person interview. And then I had, there's a family reunion that I have to go to. My mother didn't really tell me about it until last minute when I was going to go see her at the beach. And so now I'm going to Pennsylvania. That's why I had called and checked to see if we could do it over the phone instead. So.
Oh, I see. Well, I definitely understand that family stuff. That's important.
Yeah. Are you going to be out at the New Media Expo in Las Vegas?
I am. Okay. Yeah.
I'm still debating on whether I'm going to go out there, but if I do, I will flag you down and say hello. You know, I listened to your talk last year, and you're the whole reason my listeners get free books, because I loved your talk about giving them candy to come to your website.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I love to hear that. Yeah. I'm bringing Smarties along on my book tour to give to people. I Twittered a few days ago about what's a good candy to get, relate to, uh-huh. You know, what candy makes you think of grammar. And
oh, that's good.
Of Smarties.
That's good.
Yeah.
Cute. Very cute. Okay. Well, again, sorry I woke you up. Go get some coffee or Diet Coke or whatever you drink, and go have a good day. Okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care. Okay, I'll be sure to put the links in the show notes so you can get in touch with Grammar Girl and find her book. I do encourage you to also check out the podcast. I have a free copy of the book, and the winner will be chosen from those of you who leave a comment on my website at wordstomouth.com. I'm making you work a little bit. A shout out to Maggie. She co-hosts another podcast called Girls Night In, and here's a little clip from her.
Hey, Carrie, this is Maggie from Virginia, also from the Girls Night In podcast. I'm just calling to say hello. Was just listening to your Guitar and a Pen show. Really enjoyed it. Not sure if I'm the first one to call in, but that was a good enticing thing. And if I am, yay. If not, oh, yay anyway. I wanted to let you know that on episode 33 of Girls Night In, called What If We Had Toys, in our What's in Our iPod segment, I talked about Words to Mouth because I love it so much. So I have really enjoyed the books and the authors that you've talked to. I am trying to read a lot of them, but it's very hard. But I got a little summer vacation. So I can't wait to hear who you're gonna talk to next. And I'll talk to you later. Bye!
Thank you, Maggie. I had said whoever called in first would get my one and only copy of Barefoot. And guess what? Maggie won, because she was the only one that called in. Congratulations to Maggie, but come on, you guys, don't be shy. You don't have to have your own podcast to call in and leave a voicemail message at 206-309-7318. I'd love to hear from you. Okay, enough scolding. Thank you to Natalie Brown for her song, You Gotta Believe, from the PodSafe Music Network. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening, and take good care until next time.